Hello, everybody. Dr. Jill Hubbard here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I am in studio today with my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Good to be here with you, Jill.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
And welcome as the hostess.
Oh, thank you so much.
The hostess with mostess.
Yes, I'm getting used to this now.
Good.
Really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Jill Hubbard here, filling in for Steve Arterburn, along with Dr. Dave Stoop. So, Dave, we've known each other a long time.
Yes, we
have. And you are a very seasoned therapist. In fact...
Does that mean old?
Well, you probably hate to hear this, but I always mention that when I was in college, I was reading your book, Self-Talk. It really helped me a lot, so...
Oh, that's sold over 300,000.
I know.
Successful book.
I know,
it's called
has.
You Are What You Think now.
Yes, yes, that's right. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. But you, in your practice over the years, have seen a lot of marriages, a lot of couples.
Yeah, that's what
I
love.
One of your
with.
Specialties, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, people, you hear so often, people go from therapist to therapist to therapist, trying to find a good marriage therapist, and it's often hard to find. What is something that you think contributes to success in marriages and in getting the help that they need?
Well, I think in terms of a counselor, I think one of the key skills that they have to have is the neutrality.
In terms of their willingness.
Couple. Yeah, because a lot of what I hear people say when they come, you know, they've had bad experiences because the counselor aligned with one versus the other, you know, they took sides. And as soon as that happens, you've lost your effectiveness, you know. But but I get a kick out of, you know, we just had relatives visiting and the guy, you know, it said, well, what is the main thing you see in counseling? And I don't want to get into that. So I've got a standard answer.
Okay,
I say,
tell us.
I say, men are stupid and women are demanding. That's the main thing I see.
Okay.
And I think that's accurate. In fact, I thought of writing a book on it, but I'm not sure that's a great idea. But men don't understand relationships. And because they don't understand relationships, women are demanding. And the more the woman demands, the less he's going to understand. And you got a vicious cycle going.
Okay, so it's like the curse of the fall, right?
Yeah.
We women, we're looking to you men to make it happen for us, and you're off looking elsewhere.
Because we don't know what to do, and so it is the curse of the fall, because part of what God said to Adam and Eve was that, you know, the way it reads in Genesis 3, or should read, is, you know, that your desire will be for your husband, to control your husband, but he'll control you.
Right.
And so there's that conflict, that competition that's set up
as a
result
tug of
the
war.
Fall. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, which just makes it so difficult to sort through.
Think how great it would be if they hadn't screwed up.
Yeah, we'd all be in a different place, wouldn't we?
Wouldn't need counselors.
Yes, yes, we'd be out of a job. Yeah.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we did screw up, and we've got lots of people who are struggling. Why don't we go to a call?
Sounds good.
Okay, let's talk to Colleen, and Colleen is calling from Brea, California, listens on KKLA. Oh, whoops, I didn't get Colleen because... Okay, there we go, Colleen.
Hi.
Hi, Colleen. We have just a minute to say hi, and do you want to tell us your question, and then we'll come back to you?
Yes, absolutely. Hi. My situation is that I've been married for just a year, and we pretty much have fought for 11 months, and my question is, you know, how do I communicate to my husband that this is not okay?
Okay.
Good question.
That fits right into what we were just talking about, Colleen. I'm so glad that you called today.
I'm glad you're not being demanding.
Yes.
Even though he's being stupid.
Right, he's being stupid, and you've got to find the right way to tell him how to change, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, thanks for listening today. Colleen, hold on. We'll be right back. You can always reach us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dr. Jill Hubbard here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, along with Dr. Dave Stoop.
Mm-hmm.
So, we were talking with Colleen. Colleen, let me see if I can figure out how to get you back. Okay. Are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
So what do you guys, what's the main thing you guys fight about?
You've been fighting for a year.
Well, actually, first of all, I want to say, yay, I finally got you, and I don't want to get drunk.
Okay. I'll do my best, you know.
It's
kind of a trick to pushing these buttons.
Okay. Well, like I said, we've been married for just over a year, and we are fighting for 11 months, and it's really just a conflict of... He can't be wrong. He tells me, Cheryl, I can't be wrong, or I can't be wrong. And then he tells me, but I have a need to not always be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of that is that he says, why can't it just be okay? And meaning that whenever I have a need, or just so I want to spend time with you. You know, I want to spend time with you. I want to be a couple. I want to embrace each other's differences. And those kinds of things are what causes conflict. He just says, why can't it just be okay? He wants to play his video game. He wants to watch football. You know, I tried to find a win-win in that. You know, say, hey, if you want to watch football, you're going to watch all games. If we're not going to find, do this in moderation. If you can... watch one game, I'll watch it with you, and then go in the bedroom and watch the other games, but we can't do that. So.
Okay, this just proves that you don't walk down the aisle, and when you get to the end of the aisle, you're instantly a we. You know,
yes.
You start that walk as a me, and it takes a long time to transform.
It took about 10 years in my marriage.
Did it?
Yeah, I had to grow up, you know, and that sounds like what your husband needs to do. He needs to do some growing
up.
He's still an adolescent.
He's still being a single guy in some ways.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, and I'm really disillusioned, and unfortunately so are my kids, because we have a blended...
okay.
Because,
this is a second marriage for both of you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and your kids, he have kids?
No.
Okay.
They're all a little older. His daughter's just 18, and she just had a baby. But like I said, they've all become disillusioned because he was such a great guy. I mean, we kind of hung out for a while. I wasn't really interested in a relationship because I just wasn't, I hadn't finished figuring things out from my previous relationship, but although there was six years in between. But he just changed. He when we did get engaged, he was just awesome and so wonderful, and those things that I thought were, they were questionable, they just didn't seem to be deal breakers. I felt like he was just unlearned because he had been alone for so many years, but because never actually married to his daughter's mother.
Okay. So
he'd been a single dad for many, many years. I'm sorry.
He was never married then?
Right. He wasn't married. He was in a relationship for 7 years, but they weren't actually married.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in courtship, he was wonderful.
Yes.
Well, that really wasn't him. That was his representative.
And, right.
And the guy went away on the wedding day.
So he snagged a wonderful gal, right? And
who
then his job was done.
Yeah. Ask him where that guy went.
Yeah.
Have you ever asked him where that guy went?
You know, the fighting is just really ugly. So, no, it has gotten to the place. Because I try to calm things down and, you know, and we did premarital counseling. And I got to tell you, he loved every minute of it. And when we were done with those 10 weeks of premarital counseling, he was going to counsel all of his friends.
Okay.
But he just threw it all out the window. He's like, Cheryl, why can't it just be okay? You know, why do we have to keep doing this? Why do you keep wanting to work on it?
Why can't we just arrive and then we just coast, right?
Yes.
He really is seeing his job is done. He got to the marriage state. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're supposed to just sit back on the couch with the, right, with the clicker.
With the remote.
With the remote.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoy.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of, your situation, Colleen, is not uncommon, because this is where a lot of women really do struggle, because once the marriage does happen, then women start kicking into gear and, you know, focusing on the relationship. So you're probably always going to focus more on the relationship than he is.
Right.
Because it's just the way we women operate, and we see our needs as getting met through whoever our significant other is.
Right.
And so that's some of the way we're wired. We also, though, need to see that we can also meet some of our own needs. It's not only through them.
Right.
Right, that there are different ways. But in terms of the relationship, I think we were talking, Dave, on another show. I was talking about individual needs versus the needs of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Right now he's saying, why aren't my individual needs, the things I want, okay?
Right.
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 Yeah.
And part of that is because they're in conflict with some of the relational needs.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Life changed.
It can't just be all about what he wants, or it can't be all about what you want, right? There have to be some things that we compromise on in order to have this relationship.
Absolutely. And and I know that I'm not perfect by far, but I do try to find a win-win, you know, for both of us, so that because I told him I don't want to lose myself to who you are. You know, I'm completely different than you, you know, and that's okay. We can just embrace those differences, and he just thinks that's hogwash.
You know, I think what you've got to understand, Cheryl, is that he's scared.
Okay.
And when he's scared, it's like he reverts back to the little boy kind of behavior.
Right, like he's done as much as he knows to do.
As much as he knows. And we said in the beginning, you know, I said men are stupid and women are demanding.
And
when it comes to relationships, men don't really understand much. And he's afraid to admit that.
Right, yes.
And if you can get in your mind the picture of this scared little boy that you're talking to, not that you cater to that, but if you can have that picture in your mind in terms of your expectations, I don't know if that would change anything or not in your conversation. I would hope it would. The other thing I would say is, you know, we probably need a refresher course on our premarital stuff.
Right.
So let's go back to the guy we talked to that did that and kind of get an update, because we're not clicking yet. We're not getting this thing working together. And
I think post-marital counseling in the first year or two is
When I do premarital,
necessary.
I don't do the last session. I said your last session 6 months from the wedding.
Right.
You know,
Yeah, absolutely. That follow-up.
And the
idea, Colleen, that you're not trying to take everything away from him that he's kind of clinging to.
Right.
Right? You're trying to add to. So,
let me share this with you. I mean, there was one day I took him out to lunch, and I said, okay, Rob, you have your football, you can drink beer, you smoke your cigars, you go fishing with your friends, you go hunting. This is all great and wonderful, and I am not going to take any of that away from you. But what do I get? You know, what are the things that I get to do? And there's things that he doesn't want me to do with my friends, and that's like, well, really, are you're not going to let me do those things? And then I come back to, but I came in with an expectation of that I'm not going to be married alone. I have a partner now, and it just seems like he doesn't want to have anything to do with the things that I want to do.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just completely lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to need to get help with that, and because he's not hearing you. But if you can picture in your mind, this is a scared little boy that I'm talking to, who is afraid to admit that he doesn't know what to do. Then, you know, and if he had a good experience in the premarital, then I'd say let's go back to that guy and get an update, and that's the best thing you can do at this stage, because reality is set in now, and mm-hmm. we've got to deal with that. What your needs are, what your complaints are, sound very legitimate. And,
they absolutely do. And the thing is, if he will go back to the counseling with you, then that's the time where you can focus on some of these issues instead of it feeling like it filters into every other area of your lives. Right. You know, he keeps saying, why can't it just be okay? He just doesn't want to deal with it. And so let's deal with it then with some boundaries around it, some parameters of here we're going to go to counseling so that we can learn, like taking a class. And to even acknowledge, you know, I don't know if you know how to take the next steps, and I don't know if I know how to take the next steps in relationship. I just know that it feels like we got married to be close and not to live separate lives.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, here's something else. Like I said, we've been married just over a year, and I had a reason to go visit my sister out of state, and so I did. And I've been gone for 5 weeks. He knows, you know, he knows
what happened. 5 weeks? Wow.
But it's the day before he picked a fight in the middle of, you know, a busy street, and it was just horrendous. And I set my sight on, I'm leaving on May 27th, and you know, and then I'll clear my head and I'll get some answers. But that's where I'm at. I'm like set to go back July 9th, and I'm not prepared. I don't know how to communicate to him because he doesn't get it. It's like when we fight, he feels relieved, and I feel abused.
Okay. Mm. But his fighting is a type of connection. It may feel like a very negative connection to you. And you were leaving for 5 weeks. That's really common to stir things up right before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
You know, he's anticipating you being gone. And as much as he wants to do his own thing, it sounds like he also wants you there.
Okay.
He wants you to be near him. He just doesn't know how to do...
Under his thumb.
Well, he just doesn't know how to do the connecting part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he's doing what he knows how to do. He's doing what he learned in previous relationships way back from when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what he keeps replaying. So if you can come, instead of attacking that or telling him he's wrong, it's trying to understand and offer that compassion to him.
Oh, okay.
And then the way... through it is we need to go get help because neither one of us know how to navigate this.
Mm-hmm.
You may know more than he does, Colleen, but in the midst of the emotions, nobody can do it right.
But you don't know what to do in this situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's too close to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I get attacked, I mean, my prayer has been that I respond and not react, but I act like a caged animal, you know, when I'm attacked. So it's not pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course. And that doesn't feel good. So.
No.
So let's send her something. How we love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be a good one, Colleen.
Okay.
We'll send How We Love your way, and it also has a workbook in it that the two of you maybe can look at and learn some things about each other that will help you. So we appreciate you calling today.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Okay, Dave, one thing I wanted to talk about is that we have small groups in churches, and Ryan... is someone who leads up those small groups, and he does a great job in helping church leaders and different people, figure out ways to promote those groups and establish them. And so a little bit later on in the show, we're going to hear from Ryan and hear an interview kind of he and Steve, or a chat that he and Steve had. So stay tuned for that, and we'll tell you more about small groups. Another thing, Dave, we need to mention is that it's still not too late to sign up for the New Life Weekend.
That's right.
It's coming around the corner, right? July 22nd through the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been kind of wavering whether you should go or not, by all means, go. Sometimes those last-minute choices that you've kind of been waffling on turn out to be really fruitful. And I think these weekends... can make a huge difference.
Well, we've seen it in people's lives.
We've seen it. We can't guarantee it, right?
No, but it's...
Can't guarantee results, but we've seen it over and over again, mm-hmm. making a huge difference in people's lives and helping to get them unstuck. Mm-hmm. Like even Colleen, who we were just talking to. You know, mm-hmm. we have marriage groups where you can get some help and input from other people and from a trained therapist. Mm-hmm. Can make a big difference. Yeah, in launching people forward. So, so please, if you're hesitating,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and talk to them about it. If you have any thoughts about it.
If you have any questions,
a
good idea.
That's how you get your questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have people in the call center always ready to answer your
24/7.
Questions. 24/7. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we're going to go to a short break now, and when we come back, we will hear more from all of you. Thanks for joining us today, and you can always reach us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dr. Jill Hubbard here, filling in for Steve Arterburn, along with Dr. Dave Stoop, and enjoying talking with you today. I mentioned earlier, Dave, that Ryan, who leads up small groups in churches and in the community, he and Steve had a chance to chat a little bit ago, and so we're going to play that conversation for you so you'll hear a little bit more about our small groups and what we offer.
At New Life, we have a ministry outreach coordinator, and his name is Ryan Morello. He's an amazing guy, and essentially, he's in charge of our small group ministry. Yes, we have one, and yes, you and your church could benefit from it. Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's new in the area of New Life and small groups?
Well, we have been working for the past few months on our life groups website, and that's newlife.com/lifegroups. And mm-hmm. on the website, we've included frequently asked questions for people who are interested in starting a life group on the how-tos and why it's beneficial, and information on the curriculum we have and downloads and a lot of interesting stuff for facilitators or people just looking to get involved.
And when you say get involved, what can a person do to get involved with life groups in their church?
We have a few different ways that people can get connected. You know, if you are somebody and you're looking to get involved with the life group, we do have a search where you can punch in your zip code and look for a local life group around you for you to get connected with. Also, if you want to, you know, maybe begin a life group, you can take the information to your pastoral team or your leadership team at your church and go through the process of starting groups within your church, or you can take it as a group by yourself and start it within your own home. So we have all the material to help you facilitate something like that with you know, DVD curriculum and workbooks and books, and also facilitator material.
So essentially, for somebody who's had this thought, you know, I would love to do something. I'd love to reach out to people maybe in my neighborhood or certain people in the church. We've really got some group material that's kind of plug and play. You get a DVD player, mm-hmm. and you show up, you show the DVD, and then you're just essentially leading a discussion. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be fully healed or anything like that. You're just leading a discussion after they've seen some of the curriculum highlighted or presented in the form of the DVD.
And that's exactly it. I mean, we have material that kind of touches on all topics, from boundaries to marriage groups to one of the newer curriculums. It's Wives in the Battle. It's for, you know, spouses who have been affected by infidelity or pornography. You know, we have sexual integrity groups and weight loss groups, and we have everything for every demographic and every life stage that somebody may be in. And so the material really is a plug-in and play. Get involved. You grab some people around you, and it's really about experiencing life together and having accountability and fellowship.
Okay. So how does somebody get in touch with you if they want to start a group?
You know, you can call the 1-800-NEW-LIFE number, and you can ask for Ryan or the Life Groups guy. You can email me at ryanm@newlife.com. Or you can go to the website at newlife.com/lifegroups.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. You do a great job. And anybody that wants some assistance, just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for the life group guy or ask for Ryan, and we'll connect you.
Well, thanks, Ryan and Steve. It's nice to have a little bit of Steve on our show today. Dave, let's go, and we will talk with Rachel, it looks like, in Dallas, Texas. Listens on KWRD. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Okay. My question is, you know, I really get along with the guys very well, but I don't really, you know, have any girlfriend. So I was wondering, is there might be an issue with me or?
Oh yeah. No, go ahead.
I am married and I have two kids.
Mm-hmm. Okay, girls or boys?
Two boys.
Oh, okay.
Did you grow up with brothers?
Yeah.
Rachel,
have you had much exposure to girls?
Yes, I have. You know, I'm the third out of the five siblings, and I, you know, and I'm very close to my sister, though, my younger sister and my younger brother. Mm-hmm. I'm really close to them, but I really get annoyed with women.
Okay.
What was your mom like?
She's very godly and very involved with church, I mean, and all of that. So I kind of think that maybe I was not very involved with my mom.
That's very likely that she was busy everywhere else, and you had older siblings that kind of looked out for you. And
mm-hmm. What was it like for you, Rachel, in school growing up? Did you have girlfriends?
Yeah. When I was in school, but more I hung out with the guys.
Okay.
I'm like more like a tomboy.
Okay.
I'm attractive. I wouldn't say very attractive, but I like the attention from the men because they all think, oh, she's so cute, or, you know, and I try to impress them. I shop a lot, you know. Now I'm a high achiever.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, but you're trying to impress the men around you.
Sounds like a competitive also.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. It
so
does.
I'm trying to figure out. I went on online, your website, to look for some books that might help. But so I would like some recommendation.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're also feeling a void in your life, that somehow this is out of balance for you. And what would it be like to have some close girlfriends in your life to kind of balance out all the men?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you called. We'll be right back with you, so hold on through the break.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Jill Hubbard here on New Life Live, along with Dr. Dave Stoop. Okay, Dave, right before the break, we were talking with Rachel. Rachel?
Yes,
you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Rachel, you're talking about having difficulty having women friendships and feeling a void there, kind of wondering why is it that you attract to men or boys. And and you talked about being a tomboy when you were younger. And, you know, typically when girls are tomboys, usually about fifth, sixth, seventh grade, when they start going through puberty, they start caring a little bit more about how they look. And even tomboys will often try on a skirt now and then. And it sounds like you have kind of, you talked about shopping and dressing yourself up to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that has continued in marriage?
We have a pretty good marriage.
Okay.
But
are you still craving attention from other men? Or does your
husband? Yeah, kind of, because, you know, I try to impress them.
Impress them so what?
I just don't know why I do that, why I need the attention from them.
Mm-hmm.
What are your older siblings? Are they boys or girls?
I have an older brother and a sister.
Both, okay. Both. And what was your dad like?
Yeah, we were wondering about your dad, too.
Yeah, dad, you know, he wanted all his kids, you know, he was a high achiever as well. So I was more into sports and stuff like that, so he didn't pay much attention to me, whereas my younger sister was really, really brilliant and smart. So, you know, she got most of the attention from my dad.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't get much attention from dad. You didn't get much from mom.
You're kind of that lost kid in the middle, weren't you?
Yes.
And there was somebody that either was in a better position or who did things better.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not... I'm not a loser, though.
No. You came from a high achiever.
And thank you for saying that. We didn't mean to imply that.
No.
Yeah.
Came from achieving a family of achievers.
I have a very good marriage. I did really good in school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've achieved very well in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I did all of that to even compete with my siblings, with both my mm-hmm. siblings, younger siblings, are attorneys, and they did very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So, in your
family, you had to compete for the attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And your parents, almost like there wasn't enough to go around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that way.
Yeah. So there's that constant craving to try to kind of win out. If I can win the affection of somebody, that must mean that there's something of value in me.
Yeah.
Or somehow
that's
stand
exactly
out.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Okay, so you're constantly looking for that value, but even when you get it from someone, I mean, here your husband picked you above every other woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, and he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But there's still that constant replaying because the wound is earlier.
Yeah.
It's earlier in life. Mm-hmm. It's with mom and dad and being in this kind of litter of kids.
Yeah, the lost
right?
child,
yeah,
again, is what you said.
Being the lost child.
Yeah, and you know, and it was a family that was based on performance,
yes.
And you perform, but...
Which creates a lot of anxiety for, mm-hmm. for people mm-hmm. to be in that constant treadmill.
So you're still mm-hmm. trying to get that to be noticed, it sounds mm-hmm. like, and I'm sure that may have a negative impact on women friends because mm-hmm. they feel like you're competing with them or against them, you know. And so maybe what, you know, one of the things that you might think of doing is getting into a woman support group
mm-hmm.
And just be honest about some of your struggle and develop some new relationships with some women and just see what that brings up. But I think what it's going to bring up is that competitive need to be noticed, to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I would work on. That came out of the family dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then instead of things being a competition to where mm-hmm. you have to win out, mm-hmm. which are typically more than two people. A lot of times it's triangles, you know, two people mm-hmm. vying for the attention of another.
Yeah.
But look, to some one-to-one relationships. You know, little girls go through times of having best friends.
Yeah.
And those best friend relationships are kind of the precursor to later relationships. And so to be in some situations where you can just be one-on-one with another woman, you know, starting in a support group where you have kind of, you know, a time where you can have frequent contact with the same women over a period of time, and then starting to get to know some of them individually
mm-hmm.
and testing the waters of what does it mean to be a friend?
One yeah.
Not to compete against, but to see the good in someone else.
Send her your book, Secrets Women Keep.
Yeah, The Secrets Women Keep. There's a section in there on friendships and the importance of friendships mm-hmm. to women.
But you sound delightful, Rachel,
yes.
So I think you can be very successful at this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to someone else here, Dave.
Yes, let's.
Let's. I know. okay. Let's go to Christy, it looks like, in Santa Barbara, California.
Yes.
Christy,
hi.
Are you there? Hi. How can we help you today?
excuse me. Yes. I have a long-standing issue that's affected other issues and other difficulties, but the root issue is I'm a believer of long-standing. I lost custody of my only child after I had a difficult pregnancy because of a chronic illness I have, and I also gave birth as a single Christian mother. And this is an issue that continues to come up. I still do not have custody of my daughter. Legally lost custody.
Christy, do you mind me asking what was the illness? I'm wondering what would cause you to lose custody.
Well, Officially, they didn't say, but mm-hmm. unofficially, people that I knew that volunteered to help people like me, they tried a Munchausen by proxy. Mm-hmm. Now, my daughter, after I went through the court cases towards the end, I finally got a private attorney. I had court-appointed attorneys, but the mm-hmm. private attorney questioned a social worker. Mm-hmm. Which hadn't happened before with the court appointed, and the social worker admitted my child was one of the most complex medically children they had ever had in their system.
Okay. Hmm. And just for people who don't know, Munchausen by proxy is when they believe there is harm coming to the child by the mom.
Yeah, through medication.
Yes, through different means.
Poison or something. Mm-hmm.
And I was actually going to talk to you guys about that because CPS actually is a cause for a lot of damage to my child. Mm-hmm. At one point they said she would need a heart and lung transplant or she would die in 2 years. And that the doctor working with me said that was directly because they failed to care for her medical conditions. Mm. And so it's been a nightmare.
Wow.
It's been more than 10 years.
Oh, wow,
Kristen. And we could talk about all that. That's
right.
I agree with you guys directing people to CPS because actually statistically the leading cause of child abuse in the U.S. is Child Protective Services custody.
I believe it.
So it's not a safe place for our children. But the bigger issue that I'm calling about is just it's an issue that constantly or frequently I come up with issues with the Lord. And I know on the one hand, I did everything I could, and this was a medical issue, which they wrongly attributed to my neglect or abuse, which in itself is a red herring. I can't tell people about that, but mm-hmm. as a friend of mine explained, I didn't abuse my child. I was accused of not feeding my child, and there is actually evidence within 6 months of my child being taken from me that her poor weight gain. It's actually the poor weight gain. They said the failure to thrive was because mm-hmm. I didn't feed her. The poor weight gain continued in foster care, and actually we got an expert on failure to thrive that my parents hired, who's world-renowned, and brought in the reports and studies and said this child's poor weight gain continued in foster care the same way it did with mom, meaning it's not mom not feeding the child. It's most likely because my child has major medical issues, including hole in the heart and lung damage from being on a ventilator. At any rate, my issue is...
Tell us your question before we go to the break.
Okay. My issue is that it becomes difficult for me to really love the Lord because I feel constantly, why did he allow this? And that as my child grows up, my child doesn't know me. My child has, you know, cognitive impairments also, has been shown. Mm-hmm. Discovered.
So why does God allow this? Is that the question?
How do I live with this situation, knowing God allowed it, and it did reverberate? I actually lost a job in my career because of
all the accusations. Okay, hold on, Christy. We'll be right back.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at and fantasizing and lusting. And now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi everybody, Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Dr. Jill Hubbard here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn, along with Dr. Dave Stoop. Mm-hmm. And Dave, before the break, we were talking to Christy, who has a really, she's right, very complicated situation. But some questions about.
Once you get into the legal system with your kids, it's a very, very frustrating.
It's very
deal.
Entangled.
But her concern, and it was your concern, Christy, it was had to do with where is God in all of this, and I think that question doesn't take you any place. It kind of leaves you hanging. I remember reading years ago that, I forget who it was even now. I was thinking it was Peter Marshall's wife, but she was holding her dying grandbaby in her arms, and she said to God, "I would rather have your presence in my life than understanding." And so she didn't ask the why question. You know, as kids, we play why. I used to play why questions. You know, somebody would say why, you'd say something, I'd say why, and they would go on. And I say, well, why? But why? You know, and it can go on forever. I think the question you want to ask, Christy, is, God, what do you want to teach me in this? I don't like this. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. I don't know where to go with it. What are you going? What can you teach me in this? You know, that Romans 8:28 doesn't say that everything that happens is good, but it says that God takes everything that happens and wants to make it into something that's good. And I can look back at things in my own family's life and say it was the worst thing that ever happened.
Right.
And yet what I learned from that was so priceless, I wouldn't want to do it again. But it was there. So, so Christy, you got to change your focus.
We are going to have trials in this life. And
count
we
it
don't,
joy when you have those trials. That's the really twister in James
well,
there.
To find the joy along the road, right?
Well, I think it's instead of giving up, it's like, okay, God, what am I needing to learn here?
Right. And what am I needing to do? I mean, he's given Christy a job, right? And for whatever reason, she's having to fight this. And so.
And I wouldn't give up fighting, but boy, I would. God is there.
Right. I mean, this is the time to draw near to God.
Yeah.
Because you can fight the battle alone without him.
Read the story of Joseph. I mean, Joseph went through one injustice after another for 20 years, you know. And until he was a 30-year-old man, and then everything changed. And he, in looking ahead, it's why God, why God? He could have said that. He didn't.
Right.
But in looking back, he was able to say, you meant it for evil, but God turned it into something good. And that's where you want to get, Christy. You want to get to that place. And it may not be till you're close to your last breath where you can say, I see the pattern now. But there is a pattern. God is involved, and the why question doesn't take me there.
No. And to ask
for him, I know that's not very satisfying.
No, it's not, but sometimes we have to just say, this is where I'm at. Now, God, help me know the steps to take. Mm-hmm. Teach me what I need to learn and sustain me as I take each step.
Yeah.
You know, be there with me. And that's where we draw and really become very dependent on him. So, Christy, I hope that's helpful in a very difficult situation.
That's
what I was just thinking, Dave. Mm-hmm. Let's send her that book. It's a wonderful book that, Dave, you wrote. So we'll send that off to Christy. So thanks for your call.
We've got time for one more.
Okay. Let's see. We will go to Tiffany. There we go. In Santa Ana, California, KKLA.
Oh, hi. Yes. I have a question. Sorry.
Okay.
I was on hold for so long.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Well,
we can hear you.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay. I just have a quick question, and it's regarding, well, it's not really quick, but I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
My husband and I are debating taking my nephew in. He lives with his mom now, and he's really out of control. She pretty much enables him, and he's just completely taking advantage of that. And he you know, she has to call the police on him to get him to school.
Oh.
How old is he?
He's 14. And
I think 14. You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, he's 14.
Okay.
And his dad is incarcerated, so she's, you know, just it's her and her. She has another son as well, and he's Down syndrome.
So she's got her hands full.
When he gets overlooked a lot, then too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been just kind of repetitive behavior, and we're always. So should we take him? And if we do, you know, my husband and I, we've only been married 3 years, but you know, we want to help the situation. I mean, she constantly calls on us, and she doesn't take our advice ever. So
okay.
It's just really hard. Like, she doesn't do the hard things to correct the behavior. I've encouraged her to get into counseling. She's threatened to put him in a foster home. I mean, I could just go on and on.
Tiffany, okay, is she open to the idea? And have you ever taken him for, like, periods of time? Shorter than forever?
Right. We have taken... she is open to it.
Okay.
I told her that, you know, I wanted to write down, like, some stipulations, like what she would need to do as far as, like, you know, some goals, as far as, like, getting into counseling and just kind of,
okay, but
you know,
she's already not been doing those things.
Right, exactly. But that would be one of the stipulations for us to take him. He wants to come live with us. And
Okay.
Yeah. They live in a really bad area, and... You know, he's been asking his mom to move out of that area for years now, and she just is, you know, she drags her feet on it. She's just really comfortable, and she's just scared. She has a lot of her own issues.
Mm-hmm.
But
The more reason, I think, Tiffany, to make it a shorter time. I like your idea of saying, okay, if we, you know, take him for this amount of time, we're going to use this time so that mom can get some counseling, and we can try to work with the son, and then we'll reevaluate. You know, so let's say it's like for 2 months.
Take him for the summer.
Three months, yeah.
But the other, I would be more concerned about your stipulations with the young man, with the boy, that he understands that it's not going to be a free ride. It's going to be different than it is where he is, that there's going to be rules and, you know, expectations, but there'll be a lot of good things too. That I would have the conversation with him, and I would kind of make it worse than it's going to be so that he... doesn't, you know, 3 weeks into it say, oh, this sucks, you know, I want to go home where I can do what I want, you know. And the fact that, no, you can't go back home. You have to stay, you know, you'll stay here for the next 3 months, and then we'll reevaluate and decide what to do.
But
that's what I would do.
You know, allow him to have some input, too,
definitely.
Don't you think? And put it in writing and have everybody sign it. It's an agreement that you guys are making so that things are clear.
Yeah. But I think that'd be a great thing to do, and God will honor you for that.
And that also, if it doesn't work out, Tiffany, for you, if it's more than you've taken on more than you can handle, well, then you've also only committed to a shorter amount of time.
And that was the one thing. Okay, so you think we should take him?
Yeah,
I think that would help
for a specific period of time.
Right.
Period of time. Yeah, we were thinking like a trial period of like, maybe it's 1 month or 2 months, or like you said, maybe even 3 months.
But it's trial on all sides.
Exactly.
So everybody is only committing for that amount of time, and then a new agreement will be drawn up at the end of that time if you want to, you know, recommit for another length of time. You know, because kids do a lot of changing. So, you know, it's good kind of to do things in like school semesters or a school year maybe.
Right.
Okay.
That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, Tiffany. Thanks for calling. Well, it's been great being with you here today on New Life Live. Don't forget to help support us through Club New Life. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we'll be back here with you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.